Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. Welcome back to today's episode of Beauty Revival. And today my episode is called Scared Skinny, Overcoming the Epidemic of Fat in America While Changing the World. This is also a future book title of mine and a very long-term passionate subject. I want to share with you guys my story of why I became vegetarian, which I've told many, many times. I like to say about 90% vegan at this point, and I'll share too how I went from vegetarian to vegan and why. And just share with you like the benefits that it has not only on your health, but for the animals and for the environment. So I'm going to first tell you the story of why I went vegetarian. Back in the day, I used to have wolves. Actually, when I was married, we had two wolves, Chili and Montana. And Chili, the female, was like my heart and soul. I can never explain the depths of the connection that I had with her. She was just a soulmate of mine. And I had her for like 5 years, and we even bred them. Our male was one of the descendants of the White Fang movie, and we had 8 wolf cubs, and it was an amazing experience, and I mean amazing. We lived way up in Carefree and had a 2.5 acres and had the whole wolf den, and it was just incredible, and I was so in love with every single one of the little wolf cubs. Their names were like Cowboy and Angel and Root Bear Belly Float. Oh my gosh. And it was so hard when people adopted them because I felt like a part of my heart was just ripped out with everyone. And I'll tell you another super quick story regarding my connection with my wolf, Chili. My ex-husband wanted to take him to be neutered. And I don't know why, but I had such a bad feeling about it. And he took her in early in the morning, like for, I don't know, 7 a.m. appointment or something. And I woke up, I was sleeping while he had her there, and I just woke up and sat up straight and said this prayer for her. I just felt like things weren't going well. And sure enough, we got a call from the vet, and they said when they opened her up to do the surgery, they realized that she had been poisoned. And it was this big scandal. We don't know if it was a neighbor or somebody that poisoned her, but we didn't think she was going to survive. And for a week, she was in a vet, and I went like every single day and just sat there petting her. And just, I was like, there's no world where I can live in without you in it. And she did recover. And I do attribute a lot of it to me just healing her, like with my love and my intention. I was like, just like I said, so connected to her. So I won't go into all the stories. She was so smart. She would unbungee cord the front doors when we had moved at one point and literally go to the club where we were having dinner and look in the window. She would find me 2 blocks away. So it was crazy. But eventually she passed away, and she was only 5 at the time. And I won't tell you the story of what happened because it's too devastating. But anyways, when she died, everyone knew like how attached I was to her and what a big deal it was. And you would have thought it was a child because I got so many flowers and so much support. My cousin Rob even flew across the country because he knew how devastated I was. And it was just a crazy time for me. I had such a hard time with it, but it also was kind of like a spiritual awakening in a way. I needed to know that she still existed in the afterlife. It was so important to me. And I think thinking back to my Catholicism, I remember being in CCD at like 5 years old and asking one of the nuns if your dog goes to heaven when they die. And she said no. And I mentioned this, I think, in my book too. Like at that point, I was like, I'm out. This religion is not for me. But I did continue to be raised Catholic and went to Catholic schools, but some Catholic high school. I went to public grammar school. But anyways, I just was reaching out and reading books, and I had to find proof that she was still with me somehow. And I had ordered this book online. I need to go back and research what the exact book was, but basically I thought it was about animals in the afterlife, but it was something different completely. It was about like the horrors of animal abuse and what happens to animals so people can eat them, basically. And I was just so raw, I think, still from losing her. And then reading that, I was just like, okay, it's done. I am a vegetarian. I'm never eating meat again. And I basically did it as a tribute to her. And I thought this is perfect because she had died maybe in like April, and that following August on my birthday was August 8th, I just decided on my birthday, I'm going vegetarian. And that was 30 years ago. I've never eaten meat since. And people will ask me, wow, was it hard? Or, you know, that must be difficult. And it was never hard. I never one time wanted meat again. And the key there is because I made the decision from my heart. It was like a heart connection with her, a heart manifestation. So I like manifested being a vegetarian more so than choosing to be a vegetarian. And I think for years leading up to it, I subconsciously already was one, because I remember like I would get like chicken teriyaki and I would pick off most of the chicken, or if I had pepperoni pizza, I would pick off the pepperoni and like give it to the dog or whatever. So it was not that hard for me to do it all. It's just inconvenient when I explain, you know, the challenges of it. And this point in my life, it's inconvenient, like just making sure that I get enough protein. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I had also had chronic fatigue syndrome for 5 years, and I mean, bedridden. And whenever I had something stressful, I would be okay, but then it would just hit me where I would just be like a Raggedy Ann doll. Like they even call it like the Raggedy Ann doll syndrome. I could not move. So I was always looking for ways to heal myself of chronic fatigue, which I did. And they say you can never get rid of that. Epstein-Barr, same thing. For 5 years, I had it. I researched so deeply into it. And it was a combination of my mind, the power of my thoughts, what I tell myself when I would feel a recurrence coming on. I changed my diet to being a vegetarian. You know, again, I moved. I was in an area that had a lot of dirt roads and stuff. And I think that really contributed too, because I was a runner at the time and I was always running on these dirt roads. And, you know, it's kind of that valley fever type of thing. But anyways, all of that happened to coincide at the same time. And I just, after I stopped eating meat, what shocked me wasn't just the emotional shift. It was what happened to my health, my energy, my clarity, and my body, basically. So I you know, I'm not somebody that walks around judging people or telling everyone how to live, but sometimes information comes into your life at exactly the right moment and it just changes you forever. And that's was one of the inspirations behind writing my own book too, that they say, you know, when the time is right, the teacher will appear. And there's people that will never be ready for this message. But I know that I've read certain books along the way that I was so ready and primed for the message. And when I got it, it was life-changing. And several years and years and years later, I was like, okay, I'm always going to eat cheese. I can't give that up. And I am going to eat dairy. And I just was purely a vegetarian. But I read a book on a plane when I was going to HSN one time, and it was that Skinny Bitch book. I don't know if you guys remember it. It was very big at the time. But it just talked about like all the horrors of eating dairy. And like I read this book and I was like, okay, I'm done. And then I would say for like 8 years, I did not eat any dairy. But over the years, I have reintroduce some dairy. I do eat some cheese, and I'm just not that extreme with it. You know, if there's like eggs in a muffin or something, I'm fine with it. I don't buy eggs. I don't, you know, order scrambled eggs. I don't make eggs. But I do have a little bit of cheese. And again, I'll talk a little bit later about how it's like the extreme, you know, vegan, like the whole granola hemp type thing that's such a turnoff to people. But if they could, you know, learn about it in a way that actually makes sense and that is more practical, you might be open to it. So, and not even going vegetarian, but just eating less meat, because we'll get to it. That's the biggest issue with the environment, especially. So, I spent years in beauty and anti-aging, but eventually I realized you can't out makeup like inflammation, exhaustion, and what's happening internally. And for me, that chronic fatigue was absolutely exhaustion. And, you know, a lot of it is your mindset. I was just talking to my daughter about this morning. You know, every single day I choose my mindset, and I just outran a virus. I talked about it on my last episode that tried to come over me. And literally low key, I felt it for about 7-8 days, but it never fully took hold of me because I did everything imaginably right to keep it at bay. So this is just a choice that I make every day that I know just makes me feel better and look better, I believe. So, you know, women spend thousands of dollars chasing anti-aging while ignoring the thing that they do three times a day that affects aging the most, and that's what they eat. So I just ran into some friends that I've not seen in like 25 years just the other day, and they said that I looked exactly the same. And I have heard this before, and I'm not patting myself on the back or bragging. I'm as hard on myself as every other woman that I meet. But, you know, I do admit I could look worse. And for not having any plastic surgery, no fillers, zero Botox. I mean, I've done it before, but right now I have zero. And I feel like my eating, my red light therapy, the things that I do really have slowed down the aging process. And I've talked before, and I will say it again, I do believe God restores you too when you forgive people that have hurt you and you don't have resentment. He restores the years. It's biblical. I feel like He's restored me because I've done a lot of the hard work of reflecting on my life and making changes. And it's just another category of being responsible, you know, with your life. So wearing sunscreen, you know, again, just on your arms and your chest, like things like that are, you're going to look younger than people that don't. So not to go off on a tangent. So after this period, I was just grief-stricken about losing my wolf, Chili Pepper. I went to this animal rights convention. I also wrote a screenplay where this was all in the screenplay, too. It was called Survival of the Prettiest, and I pitched it in Hollywood for 3 years. But I went to this animal rights conference, and it was for a couple days time, and the people were just so outrageous and weird, and like it running around in tutus, and just what a turnoff. And I went in and out a few of the rooms. It was at a hotel that had screenings of different movies of just animal horrors, you know, and I'm like, I can't even watch this. It's so horrifying. You know, again, they say if we had to like go kill the meat we eat, I know there's men out there that do it, but, you know, we would not be eating the meat, but not just on how they kill them, but just all of it, the whole dairy industry, how toxic and horrible it is. And I won't lecture you on all of that. But in the middle of this like raw festival surrounded by all the extreme people in booths, I happened to reach my hand in, and I've done this. I talk about it in my book on how like I found my acting coach at the library because I'm always able to open a book to the exact page of what I need. And I had just stuck my hand way back into a bookshelf and pulled out the story of 90210 and Jenny Garth. And it was like how Jenny Garth grew up in Chicago. So did I. And then she moved to Champaign, Illinois, which is where I went to college. Then she moved to Arizona. And then she studied with this acting coach, Jean Fahler. And I was like, all right, this is the coach I've been looking for. And I've been working with Jean Fahler ever since. So I have a knack for being able to do that. And at this booth, I happened to grab out of all the CDs and books and info, this DVD, and it was called Eating. And if you guys want to order it, I think you can find it easily on Amazon. It's called Eating. And it is so completely mind-blowing. It just completely changed the way I looked at food, disease, the environment, and the food industry. And side note, Steve Wynn reportedly bought 10,000 copies of it for all of his employees. And there was a big article that came out in like Newsweek on how all the power elite are going vegan because they know these things. And, you know, basically it's the documentary talking about how you have politicians in your kitchen, meaning most Americans think their food choices are personal, but they're heavily influenced by lobbying, advertising, subsidies, and billion-dollar food industries. I mean, you've probably seen it. They used to have doctors promoting cigarettes back in the day, and they show all this in the DVD. How, you know, just their billions are being spent advertising meat, dairy, and processed foods while almost nothing is spent promoting fruits and vegetables. So we grew up believing milk makes you healthy, meat equals protein, and processed food is normal because those industries spent decades shaping the narrative, even convincing us that we need breakfast. Like that was a whole campaign to sell cereal, and it's not necessarily true. I mean, there's people that believe both sides of it, but it's interesting when you read how these things are sold to us. So basically, the documentary argued that modern disease is not bad luck, that it's a business model. So the obesity epidemic, you know, they just really lay out how much heavier our society has gotten over the years. And basically, you know, how the back in the day, you know, I'm not going to name a decade, maybe it's the 30s, 40s, like meat was something that was just ate rarely. And it was like for rich people. And they have turned it into something that has become like everything all the time. And that's not how it was. And when you read all this and you see as the consumption of meat increased, so has our obesity, so have all of our rates of cancer and diabetes and inflammatory diseases and heart disease. And basically, we're the fattest nation in history while simultaneously spending more than anyone trying to lose weight and look younger. So you guys should get the DVD. I used to buy them all the time and hand them out to people back in the day. Back in the day, I don't know, 20 years ago. No, not less than that, because this was when I was doing my LA scouting and, you know, looking at the movie industry and writing my whole screenplay with trying to have that message, you know, in it. I had a great scene where it was kind of Legally Blonde meets Fast Food Nation. In the end, I had a tie-in even with the judge that was ruling the case, how her dog had recently died. And I tied in the whole animal thing, but I don't want to ruin it for you. So when you go see it in theaters, it'll still be a surprise. But basically, I'm not telling everyone to become vegan overnight because, like I said, even in my life, I have chosen to be like 85 to 90%. So it's just not realistic. If I'm traveling, it's very difficult to do. If I'm working somewhere and there's food there and it's not, you know, it's a buffet or whatever, sometimes the only option for me is like cheese and crackers and I just eat it. And I try my best to be prepared, you know, like when I go out to do events, I usually get like the power bars, the one bars I love. They have like 20 grams of protein and 3 grams of sugar, I think. And I get like little bags of mixed nuts, things that I know have protein that will fill me up so that I don't get to that point where I'm just starving. But if I do, I eat a little bit of cheese. And I was once on this show that interviewed me about being vegan. And they asked me a question that was kind of extreme. And I gave them an answer similar to what I just said, you know, that I'm not that extreme with it because it's just not that convenient. It's not that realistic. And I feel like if you're that extreme, people are going to think I could never do it. So you're not helping anyone. But anyways, they never aired my interview because they just didn't like that I wasn't more extreme with it. And my whole point is I want to inspire people. And I launched Meatless Mondays in Arizona with restaurants and Channel 3, I believe it was. I did Meatless Monday segments. I partnered with restaurants where they came on and had specials on Mondays, just showing like the equivalent of if everyone gave up meat just like one day a week, it was the equivalent of taking like 8 million cars off the road because of the greenhouse gases and emissions. And so I shared like my flexitarian lasagna recipe, how you can make it vegetarian and use cottage cheese and tofu, or you can make it, you know, vegan by taking out the cottage cheese and using, you know, non-dairy cheese. So anyways, there's levels of doing it and you do not have to be extreme. But I do want to share, I had this friend, Emily, who was overweight and she knew I was all about the vegetarian thing, the vegan lifestyle, and she wanted to do it for a diet. And I said, okay, will you just keep track and just let me know how you do? And so she went totally vegan and I used to call it, what was it? She's the one that came up with Scared Skinny because it was something else I was calling it, but I liked her mispronouncing it or misremembering it better. So now I just call it Scared Skinny because the benefits are you do lose weight if you eat less meat, unless you're just, you know, eating total carbs all the time and no protein. But she lost like 60 pounds. And so I was so excited to see. And my brother also has done it. And it's just, there's so many studies that just show when you go plant-based, it is just, you know, a huge benefit to your health in so many ways. So I'm talking Scared Skinny because I feel like everyone wants to lose weight. And my philosophy was if people buy the book because they see it as a diet, but once they start doing the diet and learning more about it, they're going to want to stay on it because they're going to see the benefits with their mental health, with their clarity, with their, you know, you're just living at a higher vibration when you eat more plants, you know, you just start feeling more positive. And you're going to want to keep going. And so I I kind of sell it as a diet. And I was doing some like Facebook groups with people that we did it as like a diet. But then the whole idea was you just can't go back. Like you can't unlearn something that you've learned. Now you know, you just feel so much better. So anyways, but the biggest thing is not being so extreme that you go, oh, I can never do this, because you can. You could start off with, you know, one day a week and just be with your family. Okay, we're going to do Meatless Monday. And maybe you know, there's so many recipes available everywhere. You just start swapping out things one day a week and just see how that can massively impact your health and the environment. So anyways, the fuel used to produce one hamburger can equal driving a car for 20 miles and like over 760 million tons of grain are used to feed animals every year while people around the world are starving. Another good reason. So yeah, the meat industry is one of the top contributors to methane emissions and greenhouse gases. So anyways, I just, you know, tying it back into like the real beauty revival message is it's not just what you put on your face, it's what you put in your body, what you believe, how you think, and how you care for yourself. So it's a way about like conscious living, not perfection. So, you know, when you tie in like your mindset, your energy, your vitality, your self-respect, your wellness, you know, all of that just raises your self-esteem. Like when you know you're making good, positive choices, and it's not about giving up something as much as you're doing something positive. Like it's not just a selfish diet. It's a way to be like, wow, you know, I'm completely helping the environment right now. And when I listen to like politicians or people just raging about hating politics and on the left side, on the right side, I'm just like, if people just, instead of complaining, just did something positive that they can do, it can make a big impact. And this is something positive. And even like the whole government food pyramid. This is in my movie, and in the, you know, Elle Woods kind of way, she changes the government food pyramid in the end, eliminating meat. And, you know, of course the meat industry doesn't want this to happen, but it is the government food pyramid is hilarious because it is so wrong in terms of what is actually good for us. And, you know, studies showing plant-based eaters tend to have lower cholesterol, lower body weight, and smaller carbon footprints. And, you know, Dr. Dean Ornish research shows people that lost weight and kept it off years later because they were doing plant-based foods. So it's more like you're changing your lifestyle than you're losing weight because you're going on a diet. So anyways, in closing, you don't have to become perfect overnight. Every healthier choice you make matters for your body, for your energy, your future, for the animals, and for the world around you too. So again, eating even like less meat can make a huge impact for your health, your energy, and the planet. So sometimes the most powerful beauty revival starts with what's on your plate. So I hope that you guys learned something from that and did not feel like I was giving you a big lecture. It's supposed to be inspiring, and I'm going to be bringing this aspect to my beauty revival luncheons, which I'm starting to book out, where I will be talking about all of my beauty secrets and my book, Beauty Revival. But I also will be hosting a vegetarian lunch and just giving you guys some ideas of how good it can be. And last thing I'll share, over all the years, whenever I go to any type of event where it's like the food is decided, like a wedding or whatever, a charity luncheon, and you get to choose between like chicken or beef, and I have the vegetarian version, everyone at the table is like, what are you having? My food always looks better. And I feel like it has to be more creative. Usually they put more thought into it. But I'm telling you, in the recipes that I have, the things that I make, like in the things that are available now, like the veggie patties, I don't need my fake veggie patty to bleed, which some of them do, which is gross. They try to like simulate that you're having real blood in your burger. No, thank you. But it's just finding the right brands, the right restaurants. Houston's has the best veggie burger on the planet. I am going there on Monday for my friend's birthday and looking forward to it. So again, you could eat anywhere. There's always at least a choice or two at every restaurant, and it's not a big pile of broccoli. There's all kinds of options. And again, I hope that I've inspired you to at least try it. So anyways, I hope you all have a great week. And once again, thank you for listening. Love you guys. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty and check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.